I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the work of your hands. When I consider your heavens and all that you hold in your hands, what is man that you think of? Son of man, that you visit him, that you draw him to your side and then fill him with wonder, show him your dwelling place. When I consider your mercy new every day, every day, when I consider your mercy filling the earth every day, what is man that you think of him? Who is man that you visit him, that you draw him to your side and then show him your grace? What is man that you think of him? The son of man that you visit, that you draw him to your side and then fill him with wonder, show him your dwelling place. Fill him with wonder, show him your grace. Fill him with wonder, show
That's from Psalm 8, the Tehillim in Hebrew. Let me just read the verses that this song calls forward. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you concern yourself with them, humans that you watch over them with such care? Adonai, our Lord, how glorious is your name throughout the earth. You know, this psalm actually became the vocabulary for a long time. Research project, you might want to say, from my smallest years, my youngest years. I was so fascinated with creation. Then reading the scripture that says that God's message, the message of his grace and his splendor and his majesty and his love, is broadcast every day throughout all his creation by the very things that he's made with his hands. But yet, why would he show them? Well, obviously, to someone with eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mind that can begin to glimpse what God himself has thought and his motives. Thus the question, why would you ever visit man or be caring of what is our plight as human beings? So I think that this psalm is, to say it out loud or to sing it in this song, is just an invitation by exhibition, by witness of the quandary that comes and the awesome atmosphere that it produces inside of us to behold his heavens. I went on in the song to elaborate on that question of why would you even think of humans? Why, I mean, you're so far beyond anything that we can imagine by saying, when I consider your mercy. There's the real thing that's going on in our hearts. Why would this God, this Creator, this Father of all that we know and see and can discover, do it except to get our attention and to invite us back home? You know, many times I've realized that I sit at a piano in a gathering that's talking about worship or exercising worship or at least exploring the subject, and I'm there just to bring a little note from this magnificent Father of ours. How majestic is your name? How glorious is your name in all the earth? And that little note comes from him to his children saying, I miss you. Please come home. Now, Lord, thank you for the life that you've given us, that we're so anxious and thrilled to talk about and to share with one another. And we thank you for this opportunity to share it with whoever will be listening today.
Yes, God.
We just depend on you now for your anointing and your direction as we just fellowship with you and each other.
Yes, God.
Bless it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce my guest for today's program.
Dr. Wing, I want to first start off talking about your background, your educational background. And I know that you have some very interesting stories that I think our listeners will be very curious to learn about. So why don't you tell us about where did you go to school and what did you study?
Well, I did my bachelor's degree at San Francisco State University, and it was in 1977 to 1980 in which I attended the biology department and completed my degree there under Dean Kenyon, who was the department chair at the time.
So why don't you tell us a little about your PhD? What exactly did you study for your PhD?
I studied the plasminogen activator inhibitor, which is an inhibitor of TPA, an enzyme that has been made into a biopharmaceutical that is used for lysing blood clots, and the regulatory mechanism of how this enzyme works is the study I used for my PhD, and also the pharmacokinetics and the toxicology of TPA when dosed at very high doses for treating myocardial infarction, which is heart attacks. And hence, I studied it from a molecular perspective and also a systems perspective by looking at isolated rat liver perfusion to see how this enzyme is cleared and also how it functions inside of a living system. So I kind of looked at a very small, the minutiae of the function of this enzyme, and I also looked at the system function. And so it really was a design perspective, which was kind of an early evaluation of systems biology, you know, 20 years ago.
Wow. Is your brain burning? Mine is. All those words went in my ears. I know they did. But they're still running around inside my skull looking for some familiar reference point, and I don't think it's there. That's because, it's for good reason, I am not Dr. Lumen Wing. But that guy that said all those words, that did all that stuff, he's right here with me right now. And I'm very proud to know him and to call him my friend. I don't know that I could possibly know him in the sense that I understand all that he would say. But I am so happy to have him with me here today as my guest. And I'd like to welcome Dr. Luman Wing.
Thank you, Jerry.
Dr. Luman,
yeah,
I mean.
Well, whatever you want to call me. We have known each other many, many years. And interestingly, on that course of time, my background has been in blood science, immunology, and my PhD actually was studying blood clotting factors, so I had to understand how blood not only clots, but also how it dissolves. So there's that dynamic in blood that has this inherent ability to form a clot instantaneously and dissolve it instantaneously. So there's this constant balance of how blood is actually congealing and not congealing at the same time. And that was what my PhD was on, research. If nothing else, the handiwork of God, the whole concept of worshiping him really meets itself at that idea about what he does and holds together.
Yeah.
When it says the heavens declare the glory of God, when it says the firmament shows his handiwork, you can't help but understand that handiwork by realizing it's only by a maker.
Hmm.
There's no other way of explaining it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about what happens in a single cell, just the whole communication network, there's stuff that we never really had any idea in the last 5 years what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a language that, yes, it's on each cell, but also the communications that happen on each cell. We're talking billions of different languages happen within a single cell.
That's amazing.
Just the way interactions with receptors and so on. And that's my graduate work was understanding how a molecule interacts with a single receptor on a liver cell so that it can take a signal inside of itself and trigger another chain of reactions that would cause another sort of response. So this it's just basically trying to understand just a simple word that we hear in our brains. How does that get interpreted? Well, that happens on a cellular molecular level.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably the best and simplest way of being able to describe just some of the facets of what life really is. I mean, if you think about it, if you take your vascular system, your blood vascular system, capillaries, arterioles, veins, venules, arteries, veins, and so on, chain them end on end, you would have 60,000 miles.
Good grief.
That's exactly what its equivalent is.
My goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Think about that. I mean, and then on top of that, one red blood cell, what's called circumnavigates the entire system in less than 20 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine that rate? I mean, take your lungs and open them up and stick them out on a tennis court. That's exactly what they would fill. If I were to take all of the alveoli, everything that makes up a lung, and spread it out, it's the equivalent of a tennis court surface area.
Good grief.
I mean, there's just, it's, again, declaring the glory of God, I think that's.
Well, I don't have to ask you to parallel it with God because it parallels itself.
It
kind of blasts you with this living model of the mind of God,
mm-hmm.
of the mind of a creator,
mm-hmm.
an inventor, genius.
Mm.
And what it brings me to, Lou, and I know that we've talked about this before, but just bluntly, it demands the question, why?
Yeah.
Why did he make things the way he made them?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what is he trying to do?
Yeah. Well, look, and think about it. The distinction of man from any other being on the planet.
Mm.
And as much as science wants to align man as an advanced primate, right?
Yeah,
I mean, have you ever heard a monkey write a song? I mean, think about it. I mean,
Not a good one.
Not a good one. I mean, I see it as why, because when we think of ourselves as the express image of God, in physical form, God designed us to be an expression of who he is.
Is that the unpacking of the word express?
Express image, exactly. It's, Hebrews
it's
1.
It's his expression of who he is,
and,
right?
And that actually is a Greek term for a rubber stamp.
A stamp.
Exactly.
It's a stamp.
It's an absolute
replica. That makes me think of the shadow.
Yeah.
The physical world is a shadow of the real
exactly.
world.
Right.
It clarifies a whole lot of stuff, especially the religious stuff that we do.
Yeah.
It really explains to me why our religious stuff doesn't hold people.
Uh-uh.
No. How could it? I mean, it's just a shadow.
Well, it's dead.
Yeah.
It's not. It has such a finite existence. And mm-hmm. what's this whole how do you work eternity into this? I mean, how does he say he puts eternity in our hearts? I mean, what gives us that concept that we have, when we say the mind of Christ, it's that nature of eternity.
That's right.
So we really will never, our soul will never die. So we have the soul mm-hmm. trapped in something that's dying.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole idea of man is to arrest that process. There's a huge area in science called apoptosis. It's a study of programmed cell death. And every single cell has a mechanism inside the nucleus of every cell that every time there's a cell division, a part of that chromosome is cut. So there's a defined lifespan for every single cell of your body. Hmm. And science is trying to stop that process so that we can arrest the rate of death.
Yeah.
Why would we want to do that? Because we have eternity in our hearts,
right.
And we want there to be a infinite nature. We're in so much denial that we're decaying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it interesting when you bring up the concept of death? People, particularly in the science community, that's such a resignation
mm-hmm.
to the true nature of what science is supposed to be. As far as the idea of eugenics,
yeah.
And it's something that's been sought after for over 100 years,
mm-hmm.
is some way of being able to manipulate the human race for perfection
mm-hmm.
and to sort of eliminate any kind of genetic anomaly
mm-hmm.
that could ever have any sort of a deleterious effect on our nature,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that concept of perfection has been redefined by a number of different cultures and societies, and understanding what that idea of making it so that we can eradicate a disease, and so we try to make that a moral good,
mm-hmm.
and we call it a moral bad if we're trying to do something that's going to be something that's not necessarily going to help us as far as our physical nature is concerned, but something that we can get rid of as far as disease is concerned. So we try to separate those two by making it moral to get rid of disease, but immoral to make us something that, like bigger muscles or bigger whatever, And that area has been grayed so much over the last 5 to 10 years that the idea really isn't holding much water as far as the moral code, the whole idea of mm-hmm. bioethics behind it all,
mm-hmm.
which means that, we are heading towards a science-driven society that is really eliminating the concept of God because we really don't need him any longer.
Right.
Because he's not really, imputing anything on us. There's no restraint in our, mm-hmm. development of what we want to be. But we're realizing in science more so now than ever is that it isn't just one gene that you can change that is going to eradicate a disease. We're realizing that multiple genes work together at one time
mm-hmm.
to have a given protein that's part of a given system and so on. So for us to understand the mechanisms of how DNA actually is going to, and how it works, we'll never be able to fully understand how DNA can clip itself off, move part of itself to another region of the 6 billion base pairs, and therefore it's going to form another protein. It's a dynamic molecule. And the way the molecule actually functions in terms of how it is the source of information, and that's the key, is that DNA in and of itself is only information. There's no other functional... There's nothing else to it. It is only information. It's like going into a computer and finding 0101001. Same thing as saying ATGCC, ACC. All those four different letters they have no intrinsic value whatsoever. There's no energy from them.
Yeah.
There's no function for structure, nothing. It's simply finding a map in the glove compartment.
Right.
And because it's only information, that is a great sign to scientists that, well, if it's information, there certainly has to be a reason for why there's information, and mm-hmm. where did the information come from?
Yeah.
And it ties into the idea that, and one of the areas that I've struggled with keeping, you know, science separated from what I believe, is that in essence, they're one and the same. And that's one of the reasons why when we take something as cryptic as, you know, understanding like a book like Leviticus, for example, why would God put such a high premium on blood?
Mm-hmm.
And why would there be such a purpose for why and how it's treated? Well, this whole idea about the information concept and how, you know, yeah, the DNA molecule, all of what's going on inside of a cell, if you think about the one fluid on this planet that has nothing but information, it is blood.
Wow.
Because its source, and what it does is it brings the source of life to every single cell of the body. It brings oxygen. Mm-hmm. It takes away the waste. It provides immunity. It provides all of the energy. It provides all the glucose. It provides every single thing a cell will need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about how many cells are in your body with 1 times 10 to the 13 zeros that makes up your body. Every single one of them are dependent on a cell bringing it that one single oxygen molecule and taking away a carbon dioxide molecule, and it's simultaneous. So it's a constant nurturing of life.
Yes.
Why would God want it only treated a specific way? It was a picture. It's like we're saying it's a shadow, or it's a way of demonstrating how God brings not only life, but he also demonstrates it by showing us this fluid that brings this sort of this whole Hebrew word that we're still trying to figure out and understand is this nefesh, this life source. Soulish nature to us. Because in Leviticus 17:11, when it says, you know, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it's the blood that brings atonement for the soul, mm-hmm. and so on, we commit it to you upon the altar. There's a play on words in that verse that uses nefesh 3 different times, meaning that there's this nexus between God and man, and that bridging is that word nefesh, that soul
mm-hmm.
force, meaning that the offerer is bringing to God a life source, and God responds with his life source, and it's all met in the animal's blood. Well, it's that whole purpose of why Jesus came, to replace the animal with eternal blood, so mm-hmm. that there's that whole sense of, you know, mm-hmm. science meets God, if you will, in the whole nexus right there of blood.
Well, it's like you're watching the shadow move around on the surface of the floor or on the ground or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But suddenly there's what's making the shadow standing in front of you.
Yeah.
That's the life that Jesus bought with his blood.
Yeah.
It makes my mind go wild because of my digging mm-hmm. about the body uh-huh. of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the stuff that, now for those that are listening, Paul says, this was a mystery,
mm-hmm.
this thing about the body. Jesus actually bushwhacked Paul, who was the next super rabbi, who knew the Torah mm-hmm. like the back of his hand
mm-hmm.
and was militant about something that appeared to him to be a threat
mm-hmm.
to the God that he worshiped
mm-hmm.
by presenting another God or an object of worship that wasn't according to the Torah.
Yeah.
Well, this person that was the subject of the Torah is the living Torah, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, born with perfect Y chromosome
mm-hmm.
to restore the real life mm-hmm. of a human that it was made to have in fellowship mm-hmm. with God, mm-hmm. but not as an individual mm-hmm. cell or member of his body. There's no such thing as an individual in God's kingdom. Part of an organism, especially now that Jesus came to be that organism, mm-hmm. and then said, I'm going away, but you should be glad I'm going away.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to the Father, mm-hmm. and we're going to send the other, which we know in other scriptures was he shed abroad, mm-hmm. He distributed himself, mm-hmm. and poured out himself into willing human hosts,
yeah.
and now lives in them, mm-hmm. his life, once again, the Word, the Torah,
yeah.
made flesh,
yeah.
walking over the whole earth, mm. not just through Nazareth or Jerusalem or Galilee.
Yeah.
He said, you should be glad I'm going to the yeah. Father, because I'm about to walk the whole earth at the same time. And I was just talking to a man that's struggling with how to help a friend of his that's PTSD just mm-hmm. you know, it mobilizes him at times, and he's just wants to help so much, and the fact is that you don't have to do anything, just mm-hmm. let Jesus physically be with the
there
guy.
You go. Exactly.
Just go. Be there. Uh-huh. Don't worry about it not looking like you're doing anything.
Yeah. yeah.
Because you being there and Jesus yeah. in you yeah. is going to do what he wants to do if you yeah. just let him.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't do anything. Maybe you don't even say anything. But maybe you read scripture softly yeah. to him when he's trembling like he's going to explode. Mm-hmm. Maybe you sing intimate conversational songs to mm-hmm. to the Lord. And
yeah.
maybe you just put yeah. your hand on his shoulder while he's going through that terror mm. that he's going through. But you see, we're the one on the end of a call for help so that we can go, so that Jesus can go mm-hmm. and personally, yeah. tangibly, physically touch that person
yeah.
as he did the woman with the issue of blood. All I need to do is keep from cutting off the blood flow.
Mm.
I have to stay the person that only he can make me. There's a complete mirror image or an opposite meaning between individual mm-hmm. and person. Mm. Individuality is the product of the isolation that the enemy of God has created by separating man from God,
mm-hmm.
by duping him into thinking that he's a complete unit on his own.
Yeah.
In all of creation, for anybody to imagine
right.
that this whole thing would somehow harbor little individual cells just kind of running well, around on their own.
How else do you describe cancer? That's exactly the yeah. way you define
cancer. And it
cancer.
Grows. It reproduces.
Well, it's one cell.
That's right.
One cell that decides it doesn't need its neighbor. And that's exactly
that's
how
right.
you define it. I mean, that's how you define a cancer cell.
Wow.
It loses its contact inhibition.
Hmm.
Think about that.
Wow. Say that again.
It loses loss of contact inhibition. That's the way you define a cancer cell.
Wow.
They forget where they belong in the body. They want to be something far greater, far more. And what do? They reproduce itself. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
Hyper-reproduce themselves.
And it gets sicker and sicker and sicker.
And all it does is it blocks the blood flow. Yeah. That's how you die.
And it creates its own source of whatever.
Right. And then it wants to migrate to different parts of the body yeah. and grow there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like what happens with the Nimrod attitude,
yeah.
you know, making a name for oneself. And that's exactly what cancer does.
Yeah.
And that's why, and how does your body accept it? It accepts it because it has the same markers, the barcode on it, like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. So clearly they must know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's why, sadly, that individual, just like you said, exactly that. When we lose our person, who we are in him. Hmm.
So personality being the opposite of individuality is the creation of God. And the other is not a creation at all.
It's a distortion.
It's a distortion. It's an illusion. It's a delusion that separates, that isolates, and it kills.
Exactly. And what even more profound is that the one thing that they do, most tumors in the body create their own blood source.
Yeah.
They create their own blood vessels, and they take only what they want, and they exclude all the others, really exclude anything that, that they don't need from the blood. And I think, you know, there's a big word in science called immunosurveillance.
Yeah.
And that means that your body has a constant vigilance, constant in the blood, looking at what belongs and what doesn't. And it's looking at every single barcode of every single cell all the time with the immune system to see if it belongs or it doesn't. And if it doesn't belong, it gets checked out and literally gets eliminated. And that's the health of the body.
Yes.
So when there starts to be this, and that's usually what happens with disease, but that's tragically, they don't see the cancer nature. They accept it.
Yeah.
And that's why even with that surveillance, you know, we can be all vigilant for what who belongs and what doesn't, just the different types of doctrines, just like the way it works within the body. But we have to be so familiar with what belongs that we recognize false when we start to see it.
Well, it definitely is the nature of our culture to be isolated.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, you see it in church. I mean, we set up our churches and like instead of the synagogue or the home meeting that the church was born in and thrived in for a few centuries, we have a Roman theater.
Yeah.
That it's all a spectacle. It's all a spectator sport.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why people aren't really living the life that they're so celebrating when they're all in the theater together.
Yeah.
And you're going, well, they're allowed. In fact, their isolation is facilitated by the physics of the building and the layout.
Yeah.
You can't have people sitting around talking like we're talking right now, exchanging the spiritual living water, the fluids of life.
Absolutely.
Because the ushers will take them out if they do.
Exactly. So true.
You get free, and they'll come get you. And I'm proof of that. I got free, and the guys in the white jackets came and got me and took me and locked me up. I thought I was well, but they thought I was sick. What a world that we live in. And here's, I mean, we could talk forever, Lou, and I want to. I'm looking forward to heaven because we're going to have some long conversations. But I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
This is the question I always end up with. After I make these incredible, mind-blowing discoveries, and you know, that's the Lord's kindness for our thick skulls to suddenly glimpse something in his mind. That blows my mind right there.
Yeah.
But it proves that the Holy Spirit has indeed been sent.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit has one focus, one agenda.
Yeah.
And that's because he is completely gaga over Jesus.
Exactly.
If you want to talk to the Holy Spirit, he's going to talk about Jesus.
Exactly.
If you're going to want to know about other stuff, he's going to tell you about Jesus. Because he knows that he's the center of the whole thing.
Exactly.
It was by his hand that everything we know and have heard about or could discover, he's responsible for it all.
Yeah.
And he's just ballistic over it.
Totally.
So if you want to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life, hold on to something.
Right.
Because he is going to blast you out of your little isolated self-worship. I mean, maybe you really didn't grow out of being a two-year-old. Maybe you didn't.
Right.
At least you didn't grow through adolescence if you're still holding on to that philosophy, because you had to fight for it from that moment on. When you started discovering it when you were 11 or 12 years old, you discovered everybody else felt the same way that you do about this was their world, and suddenly everybody's fighting for their territory. Here's the question. After seeing all this stuff, and you've seen reams more of stuff than I've seen, especially when it comes to this subject of the life source.
Yeah.
What was the Hebrew name?
Nefesh.
Nefesh.
Yeah.
The nefesh, the life source, once you've glimpsed that, and you've recovered your consciousness and your bearing about, you know, living in this world, the question is, what am I supposed to do with that? And I think that it's been asked very bluntly by a genius of a man when he said, how shall we then live?
Yeah.
Knowing what we do know and knowing what you find out tomorrow, how are you not only going to deal with it, how are you going to be fruitful with it?
Oh, man. That's our existence, what you're talking about.
That's what this life is about.
That's what that is. Because you, yes, you can't contain it. We agree to that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. There's no way I can reasonably contain it.
No,
that surpasses any concept. So how do I hear that though? How do I hear that? It's kind of like that same idea as that. How do I contain it? What do I do with it once I have it? And that's why there's no way I can contain it without the Holy Spirit, without realizing that. When it says pray without ceasing, that whole concept of praying without ceasing, as a scientist, yes, but as a human being, we all want to reason. Mm-hmm. We all want to try to understand. If I can't understand it, then I don't want it. But it really boils down to, because I don't understand it, because I don't have a reason for it, I surrender even that reason. And that's what enables me to pray without ceasing, to stay in constant fellowship with him. So I always have a reason.
Yes.
Always.
And you said a very pivotal key word, surrender.
Surrender. You can't go any farther. And when I live in that constant place of surrender, that's what it really means. When we talk about that concept of what it means to be holy, that's what holy is. It's a constant realization of what you're not.
Yeah.
And it's only focused on him, and all it can be is him.
Yeah, and that's a key to understanding what you're reading when you read the word. Because God is saying things to you when you're reading those words, or when you're hearing them read or expounded on. God's actually doing surgery on you.
Exactly.
And what you do with it is not the issue. Surrendering to it and the person that's saying it, that's the key to everything. Because when it says things like submit yourselves to one another, that was said to the whole group.
Exactly.
To families, whatever station you're in,
right,
you're actually in the process of surrendering your life, which is a reflection of the dance of the Trinity, who are these massive persons that never have a thought for themselves.
No.
It's always for the other. They're completely
unified
for each other, immersed in each other, for each other's pleasure and good. And that's the life that he wants to share with us.
Right.
The dance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And that was words from a book that was a milestone in my life, and it was a milestone in the minister's life, who called me and said, you got to get this book. I just came back from 3 days, and God has completely remodeled everything I do. It's called Ministry in the Image of God. And by the way, the adversary, his goal is to corrupt the image of God in you. In every one of God's precious premier creation, because if he can corrupt that image and keep it corrupt, then he's got company where he's headed. the beauty is that we can know that he's there, but we can submit to each other anyway, because he's telling us, you're an individual, you're the one you need to focus on.
Yeah.
And I'm going, uh-uh.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
Exactly.
Because, see, I'm not surrendering to another human being that's completely bereft of any value. See, that's what people are thinking, because that's the view from behind your own individual walls.
Yeah.
You're looking at everybody else like they're the foreigner, they're the aliens. Mm-hmm. And that's natural. When you lose that wall and you start to see Jesus is in there.
Yeah.
And there's a unique representation of him that he's distributed to this particular person, this body that's surrendered to him over there. And I want to find out.
Yeah.
I want to work at getting to know
that's the
representation of Jesus. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, we won't fully be able to do that because we haven't passed the test yet.
Right.
Until we pass the test. We won't be able to complete that, but God himself will complete that good thing that he's begun in us when we see him face to face.
Exactly.
We'll be just like him.
Exactly.
And then we start the main event.
The dance. Exactly. Because it's one.
Woo-hoo.
It's such a trip. The whole idea of that one, what does that actually mean? That idea of agape, when he talks about that word. Mm-hmm. You know, that love.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're defining. Is the root of all of this is all love.
Yeah.
And that's how else do you define love? But absolutely surrendered and selfless focused.
Yeah.
When it is never about
me. So the Beatles
were
right.
Exactly.
They just didn't understand what they were saying. I mean, you know it's right. You just don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Right.
There's something on the inside of all of us that say, that's right.
Yeah.
And so it's all we try want. To interpret it.
Right.
To satisfy what we think we want.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, it's been a real joy.
Yeah, man.
And it's a good start, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
To several visits like this. And I hope we get another chance to do it.
Yeah. I'd love to.
Wonder if you would... Just tell people, is there a website or some place that they can go to connect with you and some of the work that you've done and all that?
Oh, yeah. It's most of my stuff, you'll find it at louwing@calvarychapel.com.
And that's L-U.
Yeah, L-U. Wing.
Not L-me, but L-U. No,
well, you can do it in a variety of ways. L them.
L us. Well, that's almost right.
It is close. That'd be plural. And please feel free. If you have any questions or anything like that, you can contact me that way.
So say that again.
Lou Wing at CalvaryChapel.com. It's email, but it's also will give you access to my site.
Oh, does it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
How does it do that?
There's a web. Yeah, you can
the web link.
At the site.
Link, uh-huh. Yeah. Link.
Yeah. But that, you know, and for just from the science world, you can Google me on that.
Yeah.
I do a lot of podcasts on intelligent design ideas and so on.
Yeah.
You know, and there's podcasts out there with idthefuture.com. I've done that.
Yeah, that's a great site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real affront to frontal attack without a lot of the verbiage of you know, fundamental Christianity or evangelical Christianity. Although, you know, it does lead to heavier things.
Sure.
If you take a few hits of that, then it does lead to heavier things.
Yeah, it does.
To you.
Yeah, it does, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Lou.
Uh-huh.
And I pray God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son,
God, the Torah living in you will prosper and be more fruitful as we head toward the completion of our race.
Amen.
Our test. So I know you're going to pass with flying colors.
Awesome.
God bless you, man.
God bless you, too.
Yeah.
All the music you hear me sing on this program, Terry Clark and Friends, is available at our website, catalystpeople.com, CATALYST, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come and visit us soon.